KFYO News Talk 790 809. Good morning. Tom and Laura welcoming Randy Nagebauer, our Congressman, District 19, to the airwaves. Hey, Randy, how are you today?
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Laura. How are y'all this morning?
Doing pretty good.
How are you?
Hey, now.
Very good.
Why for how come we get you at 8 o'clock instead of 7:40?
Did you sleep in this morning?
I wish I had. You know, I've already been up, had breakfast, worked out, and read several news sources. And so, but I had a conflict this morning. Sorry about that. So we had to delay it about 30 minutes here, but we're
no problem.
Here we are.
We're good.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we can just start with Israel, Palestine, and Hamas. Yeah, this is a really big problem, and I don't know as if people have a realistic perspective. I want to get your way on this and kind of see what you're thinking, and I'm going to throw in my 2 cents worth.
Yeah, well, you know, Israel is an ally of the U.S., and Israel is really surrounded with enemies. You know, certainly the things that are going on in Gaza. And what happens in Gaza is there are other players around the world that use Gaza as a vehicle and a conduit, you know, to bring actions against the Israelis. And, you know, they're launching these rockets, and there's a lot of tunnels now that have been discovered that, you know, are being able to funnel things and people into Israel. And then they're launching rockets into that country, and Israel is responding, and rightfully so. I think a lot of people are kind of saying this is Israel's fault. But, you know, if somebody was launching rockets into our country, I would hope that we would be responding as well. And so it's a mess. And I'm not sure exactly what the resolution is going to be. They've tried a few ceasefires here. But every time we have a ceasefire, it seems like Hamas starts launching rockets again.
Okay. And when you say if somebody was launching rockets into our country, now I'm going to kind of derail the conversation just a little bit and go to the Texas border. You know, not saying that who is, it's obviously not the Mexican government, but, you know, we do have these cartel people firing 50 calibers, you know, across the border. So, you know, at what point do we fight back?
Well, and Tom, I think that's a very good point. And, you know, what's going on at the border right now is that, I know the president told us that our border is secure, and I think what the American people all know now is our border is not secure. And when you don't have a secure border, you don't have a secure nation. And so I think that's one of the reasons. I think it's reasons that the governor sent 1,000 National Guard down to the border. I think it's a reason that here in Congress this week that you know we're debating and discussing about how to incentivize this president to one to enforce the law, but more importantly, secure the border.
Okay, now let's scoot back to Israel and the Gaza Strip. You know, this is really a very, very, very organized proliferation. I mean, when you think about tunnels, you're thinking about, you know, and moving these missiles or these rockets through tunnels. You know, most people are thinking about something these guys are carrying these missiles through or these rockets through these tunnels that are underground that are, you know, they're crouched down. I mean, Randy, they're driving, you know, semi trucks through these things. I mean, these have taken years and years and years to construct.
Right. I mean, it's very sophisticated. And Tom, as I mentioned earlier, is that a lot of the weaponry and stuff is coming from other sources. I suspect some of it's coming from Iran. You know, and who knows where else? And you know, again, using the Gaza Strip as a conduit, you know, against Israel, and the Israelis are trying to respond to that.
Yeah, just I don't know where this is going, but I have a feeling it's not any place that we want to be.
I know my sister was scheduled to be in Israel this week, and she and the group they were going with have canceled their trip. I wonder why.
Probably a good idea.
I think it's a concern. You know, I know last week they stopped flights, you know, for a few days because some of the rockets were either in the glide path, you know, coming in or close to the airport. And, you know, that's that's a real issue. But I think particularly everybody's sensitive to that since the, you know, Ukrainian situation where we shot that airplane down. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, Randy, if you'll hang with us, we'll be right back. It's 8:14. Good morning. 18 minutes after the hour, Congressman Randy Nagebauer on the line with us. A little bit of a delay. Normally, we're taking you at about 7:40. I guess you had some sort of breakfast kind of thing you had to go to in a seminar or briefing or something, and so here you are.
I am here.
Hey, as the summer recess approaches, just days away, one of the biggest concerns we have are, I guess, Israel, or not Israel, well, we're very concerned with that too, mm-hmm. but Russia, the Ukraine, and the state of that part of the country, and, you know, who's supplying who, and, you know, just the instability that seems to be mounting and growing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, and it is a problem, Tom, and I don't know what the final answer is, but I think we do have pretty good intelligence that, you know, that the Russia is involved in this. And, you know, anybody that knows Putin knows that, you know, he's a hardliner, this is a way for him to kind of be involved in this, but doesn't have his fingerprint directly on it. But my guess is when we get through doing all of our investigation, and I've seen a non-classified version of what we think is going on over there. There was a classified version last week that conflicted with a hearing that I was in. But my guess is that we're going to learn that, you know, Putin's been and Russia's been very involved in this, and they're causing a lot of instability in the region. You know, I'm not sure where this all ends up, but it's certainly at some point in time we're going to have to get people in Western Europe and our allies to take a harder line against Russia, because they can be part of the solution here. I'm afraid right now they're just part of the problem.
Yeah, I don't know where any of this is going anyway, but, and I don't think anybody does, and I don't think anybody likes it. But relative to the recess, do you have any personal concerns coming up if Congress goes to recess? What actions do you think President Obama will take or may take in the absence of Congress being in a recess?
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that happened here recently is, and my guess is that we may be in pro forma session. And so basically pro forma session is where we're still in session, but we're not doing legislative activity on a daily basis. But certainly, you know, I think the president learned that these recess appointments, the Supreme Court struck those down. One of the things I wonder is, you know, how active right now the president is engaged in this process. Barring what he does in August, what is he doing right now? And we're not seeing very much productivity, you know, from the White House on this issue, because basically we've got Secretary Kerry is spending more time, I guess, in the Israel area than he is over in the Ukraine and Russia area. So I don't know what the White House's strategy is here. What I'm very concerned about is there's a pattern here, Tom, around the world, is that the U.S. seems to be losing its standing in the world community right now.
Well, the less active we are, historically speaking, and modern times are no exception, the less involved we are, the more upheaval there seems to be around the world.
How active do you think we should become in the Ukraine situation?
Well, Laura, that's a good question. I mean, I think one of the things, this is just Randy Nagebauer speaking, but mm-hmm. I think that one of the things that the Russian economy is pretty soft. And so I think you have to turn up the heat on Russia and make this a painful situation incentivizing them to be a part of the solution rather than a part of the problem here.
By increasing sanctions or?
I think some sanctions. You know, we put some sanctions in, but maybe we have to do more. But I think Mr. Putin would respond if some of the people in his party or were to start feeling some economic pain from this, then I think there could be some activity. I don't think we need to be sending boots on the ground over there. But, you know, shooting down airliners, that's a serious issue. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that it's sunk into everybody that how serious that was. That's a civilian airplane that was shot down by a militant group that's kind of rogue.
Right. And some people, you know, have said, well, that airplane shouldn't have been flying over that particular, you know, airspace. But what would you have to say about that?
Well, as I understand it, that is a normal route. Mm-hmm. That a lot of airlines do that. Some airlines go around it. I it's easy to Monday morning quarterback now, as it turns out, they shouldn't have been flying over it, because of possible the unrest there. But I don't think anybody thought that a civilian airliner flying at 30,000 feet, you know, would be, at risk.
A target.
Obviously, that wasn't
right.
The case.
Mm-hmm.
Relatively speaking, this is one thing, and I know that people have to have downtime and recreation time. This is just kind of interesting to me because, you know, I am a business owner, and I know what my time restrictions and my constraints are. And I do not have all of these resources at my disposal. I don't have a private airplane. I don't have, you know, hundreds of people, you know, running errands, doing things for me. I have a hard enough time getting to the bank to make a deposit when I need to because I'm going and going mm-hmm. and going. Now, this is just kind of interesting. You know, since the 12 election, and I get this, okay, but 81 rounds of golf and 75 fundraisers, that's one every 3 days, basically. And then when you come to Texas, you don't go to the border. And I'm, you know, like I said, I'm not saying that people don't deserve to have downtime and everything, but, you know, just not even showing up to deal with it seems like to me is, I don't get it.
Well, I think a lot of people don't get it, Tom, and I think the president's taken quite a bit of criticism for that. And even within his own party, my friend Henry Cuellar, you know, is a Democrat from Texas. I think he was incensed that the president was in Texas fundraising, trying to defeat, you know, the Republican Congress. And yet, he's got a serious problem at the border. And he says, you know, I know about the problem. I've got people down there. But I think the American people are looking for some leadership from the president in that area. And I feel like, you know, I'm a kind of a, excuse me, a visual person. It's one of the reasons I went to Lackland Air Force Base. I wanted to see firsthand, you know, what's going on down there.
What's the escalation of that particular situation? Is it just status quo at this point? I mean, is it same stuff, different day?
Well, I think one of the discussions we've been having last week, and I think will continue this week, is tweaking the law some so that we can treat the kids that are OTMs other than Mexicans the same way that we treat Canadians and Mexicans, and that is we just turn them right around at the border and we send them back. But what we're doing now is, you know, bringing these people into the country. Some of them we're detaining, but only to a period of time where we can release them to somebody pending a immigration hearing. But what we're hearing is these immigration hearings might not take place for 4 or 5 years. We just cannot start housing all of these people for 4 or 5 years that eventually, you know, we're going to send back. And so what we're trying to do is, cut off the incentive that is incentivizing these people to come. And one of those is obviously the fact that once you get in, you can stay because we're releasing some of these people to people that are already in this country illegally. So, Tom, I think you've got to secure the border, but the other thing you've got to do is disincentivize, you know, the people that are currently, you know, flowing into the country.
Well, just over the weekend, I was watching some news reports. Governor of Tennessee, Bill Haslam, kind of inadvertently learned about 760 immigrants in Tennessee being brought to Tennessee without any knowledge of the state government. Got about 30 seconds. I'll let you respond.
Well, I mean, that's the problem. And moving these people around the country is not the answer. That's exactly what they want to do. They want to embed themselves into our country. That's the reason we've got to immediately secure the border, but we've got to turn these folks around. And when these families show back up on the steps of their family, they're going to realize that this come-and-stay program in America is over. It's come and leave.
Right. Hey, Congressman, thanks for being with us this morning and taking the time out for us. Have a good day.
You're welcome. We'll talk to you. You bet. Have a good week.
Tom and Laura, we'll see you tomorrow morning. Carl Tepa is in for Chad Hasty coming up next. It's 8:29. Good morning.